Drive home. I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell,
brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Braves in action against Milwaukee, trying to finish up this series. The guys who were not there last night are there today, and Soler leading things off for the Braves. We'll get you caught up on everything that's happening a little bit later as we'll talk to our buddy Grant McCauley in the 5 o'clock hour. We're live at Hooters. Come on through, man. We'd love to get a chance to see you hanging out right here at the Mall of Georgia. And, Mike, yesterday, as we get into some college football talk, I was out. Stomach issues, guys. It did happen sometimes. And I know you said you wanted to talk about what was going on with Georgia with the graduation rates. Now, I did not get in on this conversation, but you were just telling me that they are last in the SEC?
There's an article that came out. First off, it was College Football Report saying that Georgia's had the lowest graduation rate since 2016 of the Power Four, because there ain't no Power Five anymore because the Pac-12 is kaput. But it is interesting. There was some stuff I heard Drew Butler talking about on the Steakhouse that initially the information looked like the data they were using was the last 3 years of Mark Richt and then the first year of Kirby. Since then, there's been more clarification. They stand by their story that, yeah, Georgia's got the lowest graduation rate of the Power Four, and they've had now, since the last 3 years, the lowest graduation rate in the SEC. So you combine that with, you know, the off-the-field stuff, Rah-Rah Thomas suspended. A lot of folks are saying, when's Kirby just going to, you know, simply kick him off the team, make it official? Just the optics. I just don't want Georgia looking like a college football factory. But the reaction we got from the fans here at the bar yesterday that were Georgia fans is, who cares?
Who cares?
Because the number one graduation rate is now held by Clemson. And Dabo, of course, sticking to his guns about NIL and the transfer portal. But obviously, Clemson's now losing four games a year.
Yeah.
So, I think you want to find a balancing act between not being dead last, if the information is accurate, not fake news. But some Georgia fans just don't care and don't want to hear about it.
I think with the way college football has changed, I just don't know how important it is anymore. I don't.
When a guy comes into your school, we're talking about the top 001% that are playing football, maybe making it to the NFL. You're not sticking around. It's what's the graduation for Calipari?
Well,
in Kentucky, when he was there, I mean, guys are there for a semester.
Correct.
You know, so I just don't know. To me, it's like it's apples and oranges. Why are you going to drop the hammer on a football program which is super successful when the entire paradigm has shifted? The business model is not the same.
That's the only thing.
That's the argument for Georgia right now.
Nobody in their right mind is calling any of these kids student athletes anymore. You're not. Because they're getting NIL, they're transferring when they want to. This is a completely different landscape. So for me, if you talk about what used to be important, which was student athletes graduating, right? I'm not saying it's not important. Get your degree, do you. But at the end of the day, if you're going to tell me that's the most important thing in my program, I'm willing to tell most of you you're lying. I don't think, and Mike, and to your point about the guys that reacted here yesterday, I think they're right on time. I don't think if you asked or polled Georgia fans randomly on the street, by the way, would you prefer Georgia to be playing in a national championship or having the best graduation rates in SEC? I guarantee you they'd be like, I don't care about that, man.
Right.
I don't care about
that. And by the way, one of the things with the NCAA from the article is players that leave early for the pros are factored out. They do not, again, that's not part of it. So Georgia, obviously, if you're kind of playing for 3 years at UGA and move
you're
on,
gone.
You're gone.
That's right.
Players that transfer out are also excluded. And now Georgia doesn't have as many players that transfer out. More players are transferring to Georgia. But I do think, you know, there's still going to be some fans out there, mostly Georgia Tech fans, that will say graduation rates still matter.
They do.
It's important.
But I just don't think, like, people think about it in the same way they did 15 years ago, where I can't believe they're not graduating those kids.
But this is the argument. Is amateurism so far out the window
gone.
The student-athlete is no longer the student-athlete?
It's gone.
So he's just an independent contractor, and the education has no bearing.
Mike, it will soon be where schools will pay salaries of these players.
Right.
And that will be where we're at.
It is what it is. It's the minor league system for the NFL. And they should just do everybody saving the trouble and just stop with the appearance of the student athlete. And education matters, because you're basically telling me education doesn't matter.
I'm telling you, education was the function to get college sports.
But you're telling me right now
your school.
But it's still a university. It's still not a professional. I mean, yes, they are getting compensated. But you're basically saying graduation rates and education don't matter.
I'm going to tell you this from my experience. College basketball teams are on the road 6 months. They are hardly ever at home. And if they are, it's only for a couple of days, Mike. I just don't believe.
Well, those guys aren't even going to school for more than a year as it is.
I'm just telling you. This idea like, hey, we're all about class. There would be some times where guys would fly home early and you'd had a test or something of that nature. But for the most part, these guys are on the road a lot. People don't even look at the basketball schedule anymore. They don't realize how much these guys travel.
Well, remember, just for – just to play devil's advocate and agree with you on this one, remember for years when we couldn't get a college football playoff expanded, it was just simply the bowls.
You couldn't
put these kids. What about midterms, the student athlete? And now we got these guys playing all the way to February.
Yeah.
So, again, yeah. It just seems like you, the NCAA or anybody who wants to get high and mighty on this, if you enjoy college football and you're a fan, you can't have it both ways.
No.
To your point.
I just think it's a function of getting kids there. It used to mean more. I don't know if – I'm not going to say it doesn't mean anything, but it used to mean more. Is that
right.
fair?
But again,
it used to mean more.
But you and I talked about this a few weeks ago. Were anybody considering Brian Bosworth a student athlete at Oklahoma?
No.
Or the university? But Uncle Luke was – the University of Miami? No, they're football players.
No.
Okay, let's just keep it real.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Hooters. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, Mike, everybody's talking about Trevor Etienne, right? Coming over, Branson Robinson. These are all guys that are in that backfield. Nate Frazier's a freshman. Heard a lot of good things about him. As we get closer to this Clemson game, is this going to be another year where we look at the dogs and they say, okay, it's running back you again. Look at all these great running backs that they have. You can rotate guys in and out. Now, I think Etienne's going to see a lot of the snaps, obviously. But, you know, Roderick Robinson, all of these guys that are still, you know, these running backs, these are all five-star guys. And they're all still deciding to come and say, hey, all right, Kirby, I'll come play and I'll wait my turn.
But just like they used to do at Alabama.
Exactly.
You and I say, why do those guys go to Bama when you know you're not going to be on the field for 3 years? But they know what it means. Man, you're going to get the pipeline to the NFL, the same reason Saban had such a great success. Guys were willing to wait.
I think Branson Robinson is going to play a big role as well. As we talk about, he's still recovering from that torn patella tendon he suffered in late August. But point is, for dog fans, which is something that, you know, we rarely talked about last year, did you feel like they ran the ball extremely well? Was that a dog offense where you said, hey, we can run the ball anytime we feel like it? Now, there were games they just bullied people up front because they had the offensive line to do it. But I think now, Mike, you match that with the talent in the backfield.
Right.
It's back to Gurley and all the great backs that have been here over the last decade.
You know, Zeus, there was so much hype. Just Zamir White had those injuries. That was just a problem.
Correct.
You had a lot of guys. It was kind of like their version of a modern or more present-day version of what happened to Craig Lumpkin back in the day. He's now looking pretty good for the Raiders, for what it's worth, is Zeus. But you're right. This guy is a rock star. Everybody loves him on the team. The off-field stuff's been taken care of. And you got other dudes that look like literally X-Men willing to back him up behind the biggest offensive line in the SEC.
404-726-0929 as we talk about the dogs.
Hey, man, while we're keeping in the SEC, I was talking to Rusty Manziel the other day off the air, very quietly, because we were just talking with Mike Lessenkirchen about his son's event that's coming up.
Saturday, by the way.
Auburn Tigers are crushing it on the recruiting trail. So Hugh Freeze, maybe quietly, unless you follow recruiting, then maybe you're aware of this, but the Tigers last week, 7 commitments, flipped 2 recruits from Bama, and rose to the number 6 class in 2024. So, I tell you what, I mean, Auburn, they knew they had to get back into a guy who knows the SEC, knows how to recruit. It wasn't working with Brian Hansen. We all knew that. But now
Harsin.
And his cousin, Hansen. No one liked that band either. But Hugh Freeze has been on fire, apparently. Now they got, apparently, the number one class for 2026.
Well,
so things apparently are – the worm is turning on the plains, I guess, is the point.
The one thing that I believe in Hugh Freeze is, one, he can coach offense. Two, he knows what kind of players he wants. And I think Harsin had an issue with Mike coming from where he did and trying to figure that out. And, yes, he hired assistants that knew the SEC, but you have to have that vision as a coach. Hugh Freeze knows, man. And when you win at lower-tier programs in the SEC, I think it helps you when you get a bigger, job that's going to require, should I say, give you more resources. And that's what he's got at Auburn. I mean, everybody says this. This is like, you know, Lane Kiffin. You can win at Ole Miss. Go to Florida. Can he win at Florida?
Right.
Could he win at one of these other schools that has more resources, more opportunity for the coach to say, hey, we got more collective. You know, our collective's bigger. We can pay better. All those things matter. So I think he's going to do a great job at Auburn.
Hey, by the way, Billy Napier in an interview says, Florida will prove better people make better football players.
He's gone by game 4.
In 2024. Florida Gator coach, let me repeat that, Carl. Here's the mantra. Better people make better football players.
Yeah, when you start talking that way, you're done.
Yeah. That's to your point. Then you start talking about graduation,
you're
right?
Done. Yeah,
the alumni is like, you know what that sounds like? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
This guy, by the way, still continues to be the number one lowest odds to be the first coach fired in Division I right now in Vegas.
I think he will be. By the way, I've said this time and time again, is he gone before the Georgia-Florida game? That's the kicker.
I'll give you even money on that one. I'd say that's a 2-1 shot, man.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Hey, guys, we are live at Hooters again. Coming up, Joe Patrick's going to join us. We're going to talk Falcons. We're going to hear from Jimmy Lake as well. Defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake spoke today, so we'll talk about what he had to say. One of the main things, and we'll get to it a little bit later on, is Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes has been playing a lot with the ones at corner opposite A.J. Terrell. But, Mike, the problem is he hadn't really done anything prior to coming to Atlanta.
Yeah, he'd been a few years removed from being very successful in the NFL. He's got more sacks, but I mean, or interceptions, I should say, but they came years ago. So they seem to really like him. We have been hitting you guys over the head with a list of free agent corners that are out there that are experienced. Some guys that are younger that would be a little expensive. Some guys that aren't that just have the experience, like a Patrick Peterson. But there's dudes out there. I'm curious to see just how much this comes back to the front seven, how those linebackers, how the edge rushers get after it to take pressure off this group. Because right now, you could argue you don't really have a second cornerback on the scene. All due respect, A.J. Terrell and a guy that's, you know, just a journeyman.
Yeah. Or you feel really good about Clark Phillips and they're hiding something from us. I don't know. I know they're both getting reps, but we'll hear from Jimmy Lake coming up about that. Hey, one other thing, Heisman odds, Mike. Are you putting anything down on Carson Beck potentially being the Heisman winner? The odds have moved. And Dylan Gabriel from Oregon now. He was at Oklahoma. Apparently, he's the latest guy that has slipped in front. But, listen, Carson Beck is right there. Dylan Gabriel is, what, a fifth-year senior now at Oregon.
Right. Now, Ra-Ra Thomas was supposed to be a big part of that game plan. Yep. Sounds to most of us, he's not going to be playing for the Georgia Bulldogs. Next man up, and they got some studs. You know, you got Oscar Delp starting at tight end. It's going to look a little bit different, but I still think, you said it, the balance of the run game. Unless they run the ball so much, it's almost, what's the quantifier that he's got to have 35 touchdowns? What's the number that means
I do think
Carson Beck is invited to New York for the Heisman?
I do think so. You just can't, he can't have 20 touchdowns even though they're undefeated. I think he's still got to put up numbers. Beck and Gabriel are the two best odds as far as, you know, to win the award. Then Quinn Ewers, 7-1 odds, and then you go from there to Jalen Milroe at Alabama as of right now. These odds may move, and then Jackson Dart, who's at Ole Miss.
Yeah, waiting to see what Milroe looks like in this Kalen DeBoer offense. And just, is he going to be more accurate? You and I were talking about this the other day. If he was more accurate in that Michigan game, different outcome. But he couldn't step up. There were some other mitigating circumstances, bad snaps, but it's a very complex offense, according to Michael Penix and guys who played at Washington.
No doubt. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to our buddy Joe Patrick, the latest on the Falcons, what we learned today. How's the offense look? We'll get you all caught up right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Hooters, hanging out, having a good time, man. I don't want to jinx anything, but all right, I'm not going to jinx it. We'll tell you more about what's going on up there in Milwaukee in a sec. Hey, let's talk to our buddy Joe Patrick. He covers our Atlanta Falcons. He's there on a daily basis. He'll be joining us throughout the course of the season. Joe, I want to start with what happened up here at Flowery Branch. We're at, you know, Mall of Georgia in Buford, just down the road, but there was no power at Flowery this morning, which made the team make some adjustments. And you were saying, you know, that Terry Fontenot and Coach had some things they had to work through, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know if you guys got them where you live, but I kind of live at the perimeter area, and the wind was really gusting, but I could see on the radar that it was really bad up in the Flowery Branch area and kind of in that northern part of Georgia. And apparently the power was out a bit. It went out around, like, I think 8 o'clock-ish last night, and then it didn't come on until about 7:30 this morning, where they were scheduled to have practice. They actually had to move practice earlier because Terry Fontenot couldn't speak because of the power outage. He was supposed to speak in the morning at 8:55. So there was a lot going on. Players were allowed to leave the facility and go home if they wanted to. Kirk Cousins said he took the team up on that offer to sleep in some air-conditioned rooms. He says he needs to maybe toughen up, but, you know, these guys need to get their sleep. And they're all very particular about the thermostat. Obviously, they all want it super cold, which I would join them in that. But it presented an interesting situation because the Falcons, as I think we've talked about on the show, are, you know, implementing so much technology and stuff in their practice with the way that they use these video monitors and the GoPros and just generally being able to film the practice. And when they were getting ready for practice, you know, it takes a couple hours to kind of get everything ready. They were prepared to go in there and just, like, not really be able to film it, just kind of do an old school high school type of practice. And, you know, the way that Terry described it, it was just like, you know, the video guys were almost like excited by the challenge of not being able to, or being able to do it without power. And then it was kind of funny. He said the lights came on about 30 minutes before practice. And he said, you could almost see their faces kind of be like, oh, like, you know, oh, the challenge went away. Like, we were excited to kind of, you know, get ready for this. And it was, you know, just a new opportunity, a new challenge for us. So, but I think that just kind of speaks to the just kind of the vibe that's going on around that facility, where everybody is just, you know, there's an obstacle in the way, and people just kind of see it as like a good opportunity to you know, do something different that day and challenge themselves. So I think it's kind of just an interesting parallel with what's going on with this team so far in training camp.
It's our man Smoking Joe Patrick, as again, kind of a strange day for a lot of folks around Atlanta. Hopefully you guys didn't have too many trees down in your neck of the woods with all the crazy weather. Speaking of the big trees, man, what's going to happen to the pass rush? Who are they going to be? We got size, we got length, we got all these dudes. I mean, are we going to be able to generate pass rush? Because we were spending a lot of time again this week about the corners. You got to help out those cornerbacks in that secondary with some heat.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually got to talk to Jimmy Lake today for the first time. Really, I can't actually remember talking to him, maybe since some coaches' interviews. But, you know, it's really good to kind of hear his perspective on it. And Terry Fontenot talked about the edge rusher position specifically, in that they're not as focused on that position, like as something they need to fill, as they are looking at the entire front seven and how they're going to essentially generate pressure from there. Now, that is what you should say when you don't have a pass rush, you know, like a guy who has, you know, collected a lot of sacks in their career, which the Falcons team does not have. But I do think that, you know, Jimmy Lake's perspective on this is going to be, you know, we're going to attack offenses with our personnel and just kind of throw lots of different guys in there to potentially rush the passer. Obviously, there's some upside with guys we don't really know, or some guys who, you know, have shown glimpses last year, like Arnold Ebiketie, or rookies like Braylon Trice. We don't really know what those guys are going to be, and those guys certainly have been playing. Those two in particular have been getting lots of reps when this team is in their nickel packages and in their kind of pass rushing situations. But I think that, you know, they're going to try to use a lot of trickery, a lot of, you know, kind of smoke and mirrors kind of stuff to try to confuse opponents, and, you know, obviously into throwing interceptions and things like that, but also into confusing their pass protection schemes and just trying to, like, get it done that way. And also, I wouldn't put it past Terry Fontenot to potentially make a trade at some point during the season to try to improve that edge rushing position. We saw him, you know, there were reports last year that this team basically had a deal done with the Commanders to bring in Montez Sweat, and then the Bears kind of got wind of the move and basically had a better pick to offer Washington that the Falcons couldn't beat unless they essentially threw in their first-round pick, which they just couldn't do. So I wouldn't put it past Terry to go out there and look around the NFL to see if there's players who could come in eventually. But, you know, for right now, they're going to try to go with what they've got, and we'll see how it evolves. And I think that all these coaches are open to it being kind of an evolving situation as the season goes on.
Kirk Cousins keeps saying that people around, you know, football keep assuming that this offense is going to be good. How did he respond to that when asked those questions about, hey, offense is going to be great, because everybody just assumes that it is?
Yeah, and I do too, but I think that it's like, it's really refreshing to hear the perspective of the not just a player, but the player that's kind of most responsible for the offense clicking, and saying, hey, we can't assume we're going to be good. Other people, you know, they can think whatever they want, but we can't think that way because we're the ones driving it, and we have to go out and prove everybody, you know, either right or wrong or whatever. But, like, basically our fate is in our own hands. And he talked about that was kind of the mantra with the guys who went down to go visit the Gruden offices this summer, where, you know, he and Darnell Mooney and Kyle Pitts and Drake London all went down there to go visit with him. And he said that that's just something they were talking a lot about, which was that, yeah, this team has obviously collected some really talented pieces over the last few years, especially when you talk about the first-round picks and everything that they can do. And obviously there's been a lot of, you know, disappointment in terms of the production from those guys. And now is, I think they all feel like, is their chance to finally go out and kind of prove to the outside, and maybe even to themselves, that they actually are capable of, you know, being individually all, you know, Pro Bowlers or whatnot, and then also as a team putting together one of the top offenses in the conference. So I thought it was just a really refreshing statement by Kirk to kind of just put that out there and kind of know that their fate is in their own hands.
Talk about our man Smoking Joe Patrick about the Falcons. Got to see these guys in pads. Offensive line looks pretty good. I mean, we've seen days, Joe, where the offensive line in one practice, Bijan Robinson looks like a rock star, and we saw Algier look good. We also saw the defense get after it. Sometimes it's hard to know just what is going to be a sack because obviously you can't hit the quarterback. You give any advantage to these guys in the first week of hitting?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is, you know, obviously the offense looked really good while these guys were without pads, as Jimmy Lake would call them, playing in pajamas. That's what he calls playing without pads. He says, you know, you can only truly judge the team when they're actually playing in the equipment that they'll play in on Sundays. I mean, you got to say that the defense has really kind of bounced back. Once the pads have come on, that has allowed them to get a lot more physical, you know, with DBs, with receivers, you know, pressuring the quarterback, you know, pushing that pocket in a little bit and making things uncomfortable there. And it really has, I think, disrupted some of the rhythm, some of the timing that those guys had when they were just kind of going without pads, not a lot of contact. It was very comfortable for, especially, you know, a veteran like Kirk Cousins to just use his accuracy to his advantage and kind of place balls around these guys. But now it's not the case. Clark Phillips came up with another interception today. That was a fantastic play that was really kind of dropped by Rondale Moore, but got bobbled around, and he made a pick. I did have a couple sacks recorded in my notebook that were, it's hard to tell exactly who it was, but it's just kind of the pocket deteriorating. But I got to say, for the offensive line, you know, the running game, I think, really looks good. Bijan obviously looks explosive, looks dangerous, and I think that, you know, they're still going to be one of the better run-blocking units in the league. And what the challenge, I think, for this offensive line is they're never going to be an offensive line, in my opinion at least, that is very good at, like, letting the quarterback just drop back, you know, 40 times a game in a natural drop-back setting, and then just keeping that pocket clean and allowing the quarterback to stand upright. They're going to need to use that run game to actually help out their pass protection, because once you get that run game going, that's when the play action becomes so advantageous for the offense, and you can really, really kind of start slicing and dicing the defense. So they've got to establish that, and I think that when the pads coming on these last 2 days, that's been the bright spot for this offense, is to see the way that they're dominating the line of scrimmage when they're running the ball.
Joe, I'm a big believer in you practice how you play. Clark Phillips is making plays. And
yeah,
say what you want about whether he's going to be the guy, but I'm a big believer. Like, he's being noticed and recognized, picking off these passes, being where he needs to be. I just feel like he might have an edge. I know it's early, but this is why I've always felt like they didn't make a move, because they liked what they had in-house.
Yeah, not to pat myself on the back too much here. It's still early, but I always kind of thought that, like, you know, Clark Phillips was in – a situation where, you know, he doesn't have the experience, and, you know, so he's not coming in as a starter, but he's the kind of guy where if he's in a true position battle, if it really is kind of a 50-50 shot between him and another guy, he's a guy who's going to make a lot of plays, especially in training camp setting. And that's kind of his MO. He is what you hope to be, kind of a turnover playmaker type of guy. He might get beat on some other more simple stuff because his size just is, frankly, a mismatch for him in certain situations, but you have to kind of take the good with the bad and hope that, you know, he can actually come up with the big plays that make it worth it for you. And, you know, this Falcons defense, as kind of solid as we think of that group and how they were last year, something they didn't really do a lot of, especially outside of Jesse Bates. Obviously, Jesse Bates had a ton of turnovers, but nobody else really did. And I think that under Jimmy Lake, with a more of a zone-heavy scheme where you're not in a man-to-man situation where you're turning your DB and you're kind of got your back turned to the quarterback, just trying to shadow a receiver the whole time, I think that gives these guys a lot more time to kind of, you know, read the quarterback's eyes and try to jump routes. And that's exactly what Clark Phillips does. And, you know, he's shown exactly that skill these past few practices. So you would have to think that if he keeps doing that, then he's going to find himself in a starting role, or if not, at least a significant role for this defense.
Great stuff as always. Joe Patrick, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Mike Bell, we're live at Hooters. We got good news on our baseball team, which we'll tell you about. But what do we have coming up in Guy Talk? I haven't said anything. I learned my lesson.
All right, you thought you had a stomach issue yesterday.
I had a stomach issue.
You should have tried swimming in the Seine.
What?
The triathletes had to swim in the water with the poop. Or as the French say, le net. So we'll see how those guys are feeling this morning. Also, guys, thousands of Karens calling for G-strings to be banned at water parks?
What?
I think that's pure communism, Carl. We'll get into that next right here in Guy Talk, live from Hooters Mall of Georgia. Let's go, Braves!
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for Shenanigans.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Hey, man, good news for some Bravos fans. Don't want to jinx it just yet because there's still another inning of baseball to be played, Carl.
I was about to say, I haven't been able to say the score, and you're about to say it?
I've said too much. I won't jinx it. All right. We'll save it for later. Grant McCauley's coming up next hour, and hopefully some
good
news.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Murphy's Law. By the way, we were going to do some stinger and rapping. We'll get some of that later on to give you an update as USA, Carl, bullying the South Sudan. LeBron James going literally through the South Sudanese like Lydell Mitchell. Or Franco Harris.
Remember, this was a team that played us earlier, right?
Before, in London.
Yeah, it was the group stage or whatever.
This was an exhibition in London.
Correct, it was the exhibition. And they had us down, I think, 13 or 16 points.
And so if you were looking to send a message, they're playing just physical. You and I were just debating the merits of this style of play. Why don't you just play your game and beat these guys unless they want to send a message? So they're getting Dude, it's like rugby out there at times against South Sudan. They've been dropping some elbows. They're swinging.
Because I think part of this is, we were playing around with you guys earlier, right? And now not only are we better than you, but we're tougher than you. So I think the USA team is showing a little bit of that. What's the score? We're up like 12, 15?
Yeah, we're up by 20 right now as it's winding down to the final 3 minutes. But Luol Deng, who of course played with the Hawks back in the day, out of a pocket to fund this South Sudanese team, who's been one of the darlings of the Olympics because they're certainly much rootable dudes. Hey, man, speaking of the Olympic Games last night, obviously, we saw the U.S. women's gymnastics team take the gold in the team effort. Now, obviously, he's kicking butt and taking names, and that was kind of nice. Redemption, they were talking about it.
Simone is now arguably the greatest gymnast ever. And, you know, people forget she looks 12.
Right.
But she's like 27. And, Mike, I don't know what else she could do beyond this. The team was great to see the women's gymnastics team get gold. I said I was at home in the fetal position with the stomach issue. I was watching Olympics. That's what I had on, and I wanted to see what was going on. So, yeah, it was cool to watch.
Well, ironically, there were some Olympians who were also in the fetal position last night. Canadian triathlete Tyler Mislichuk, he just basically yacked at the finish line of the men's triathlon event this morning after swimming in the Seine River, which you guys may or may not know. We talked about earlier in Guy Talk, they were criticized for its, cleanliness and safeness for competitors to be swimming in because of runoff, because of abnormally huge rainstorms that we saw on the opening ceremony, I should say, on Friday. Subsequent events, you've seen a lot of rain in Paris. So the $1 billion they spent to basically keep it clean probably goes right out the window. That stuff just goes right through the sewer systems and the runoff. They were worried about high levels of E. coli and other bacteria. A number of American swimmers said it was disgusting. I was ingesting liters of this filthy water.
Oh.
Well, aren't you then doing it the wrong way if you're swimming and you're swallowing that much water?
That's
I'm
a
not
lot.
Trying to tell a triathlete how to do his job.
But you shouldn't be swallowing water like that.
Yeah, man. The gold medal went for 1 hour, 43 minutes, and 33 seconds. A Briton named Alex Yee took home the gold. But a lot of folks saying that the water quality was pretty bad. So officials said it was good enough for the event. The event had originally been scheduled for Tuesday, was postponed because of the stuff in it. A lot of folks are saying that, yeah, man, it's just too nasty. And the current, another thing, hell of a current for these guys. I mean, I thought it was going to be like a placid conditions, but if you saw, man, the water was moving, so these guys had to swim against that stuff.
I had forgotten you had talked about this a few weeks prior to the Olympics starting about the river and the issues, and you said they spent all that money cleaning it up, but I guess it just didn't work, right? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, what could they have done to make this better? I don't know.
Yeah, the mayor, remember, before the Olympics, the mayor took time to swim in the sand
to show everybody,
and then later went, blah! No, I'm kidding. I made up that last part. Hey, speaking of heading to the water park, it starts in Australia. Now it's going global. A lot of Karens out there ruin it for everybody. Do you think it's inappropriate to see women wearing G-string bikinis around kids at water parks?
If these beautiful women want to wear what they want to wear, why would I complain,
Thank
Mike?
You. If you got it, show it off, right? Show what you got, what your mama gave you. Well, no. Thousands are calling for G-string bikinis to be banned at water parks. Extremely inappropriate. The skimpy, backside revealing outfit, they say maybe it's fine for a swingers resort in the Caribbean, but not for an area where children are trying to recreate in the water.
Oh, yeah. Are they talking about hedonism? What are they talking about?
I mean, they're saying they started down in Australia. Now, apparently, there's Karens up, I guess, as Karens down under. Karen. Crikey. And now there's other folks calling for the same here, saying that there's certain outfits you shouldn't be wearing around kids when you're at the water park. I mean, come on.
I got to be honest. All the years I've gone to water parks, I've never really paid attention to what the moms were wearing or what the women – you're just there. And if I don't know.
It's just Karen stuff. One of the, again, all the reactions on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm female, and I find it uncomfortable to see it, to be honest. One labeled, the swimmer's outfit's offensive, disgusting. It's extremely inappropriate on little children. Chirp one. Isn't it supposed to be nice to leave something for the imagination, said another? Well, again, yeah, but I'm not trying to say all these women are like 60 pounds of flour in a 50-pound bag.
Sure.
But there's always the jealousy element when you've got good-looking women wearing skimpy outfits.
I would agree with that. She wore an itsy-bitsy-teeny-weeny.
So, again, you can Google Australia and water parks and thongs, and you can get the whole story there.
But I hope this doesn't catch on. I'll tell you that.
Hey, man, another sign that maybe the world is spinning off its axis. Would you be willing to pay pay-per-view to watch Elon Musk step into the ring to battle Nicolas Maduro, the dictator communist leader of Venezuela?
What are we talking about? What kind of fight?
Well, apparently boxing. Elon Musk, apparently Maduro's saying, you want this heat? As we say, bring it. And Elon Musk has accepted. Now, when would ever set this up, I have no earthly idea. But Elon Musk has been talking about voter fraud and the way they're trying to control the election down in Venezuela.
Sure.
Maduro says he wants a piece of Elon Musk. Elon Musk says he'll oblige.
I don't know if I'd pay for it, but I wouldn't mind seeing somebody punch in the face.
Either way on that one.
Yeah.
Hey, man, great news for Georgians with a hangover. Waffle House has now updated their website. You can now go online and get your Waffle House order to pick up, ready to go. Order online, go to the nearest Waffle House, and take it home with you.
I love that.
I'm excited.
I love that.
I'm going to be hitting that Waffle House in Tyrone.
I love that.
I'm loving it. No, because there's certain days, the only thing with Waffle House, you still want to have to go to the rigmarole of sitting down, dealing with the whole thing.
Correct.
You just want to go grab it, take it on home, man. Whether it's waffles, that Texas cheesesteak, I like it. By the way, speaking of good food, thanks to our buddy Steve last night. We party with our good friends Alex and Steve. Went to a place called Mambo's. I know you've been to the one over by the cigar place before.
Yeah, up in, it's Alpharetta, actually,
right.
But it's up headed towards Cumming. It's great. I didn't know they had another location, and the guys were telling me, and they had been, but tell me what the food was like, bro.
Man, it was great. I mean, a nice saltwater ceviche, getting fresh seafood. Also, so your favorite Cuban, fried stuff and pork and meat and everything was just coming. We basically, I said, bring the kitchen. We ordered all the appetizers, tostones, all that stuff, man. Just great selection.
It's good.
And just good vibe. Only thing last night, it was a little disconcerting as you went through it last night. You probably slept through most of it, was watching all that funky weather.
I did.
We watched like these black clouds. It looked like 70% chance of wrath of God last night up here in Buford and certainly around lots of Metro Atlanta.
Well, we know Flowery Branch lost power. I'm talking about where the Falcons practice. They were without power, early this morning. There were a lot of people without power, trees down. I know in our neighborhood, Mike, I did. I literally did not even know. And Michelle woke me up and was like, it's storming pretty bad outside. And I was like, really? Mm. I had no idea. And then this morning I get up, I go outside. There's debris, tree leaves. There's just everything. And she said the wind came up, to your point, like the wrath of God up the street. Was just blowing like crazy. I was asleep.
Yeah, man. Again, last night, it was funky. My dog, we got a good dog, man. It's his birthday that I turned four. He sleeps straight.
He doesn't
get freaked out by the thunder. He's just kind of a cool, mellow fellow.
Hey,
one guy who does get freaked out about everything about him is Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk more about this later, but just real quick, I saw the story I was showing you guys during the commercial break. Robert Saleh yesterday at Jets camp says that, we're probably going to lean towards keeping Aaron Rodgers out of any preseason action. Aaron Rodgers says the quarterback plan is news to him.
They haven't told him.
So, needless to say, in New York, that's become a big headline. Chris, who's a lifelong Jets fan, just kind of rolled his eyes because here you go. Aaron Rodgers just can't help stepping in it.
Are they communicating at all up
there? It doesn't sound like. Now, if D-Led was up in New York, sure sounds like left hand don't know what right hand's doing. Salah's got a plan. Aaron Rodgers don't want no part of it. Anyway, man, Guy Talk brought to you by Dukes of Bell. Hey, man, Ale. Grab it on draft here at Hooters Mall of Georgia.
All right, coming up, guys, we're going to hear from Jimmy Lake, defensive coordinator. Also, Terry Fontenot was saying today, Mike, and he tells us why Steve Wilks was at practice.
Why was Steve Wilks at practice?
You're saying, who's Steve Wilks? Former interim head coach at Carolina. He was a defensive coordinator.
I like his style.
Yeah, man. He was here, and Terry Fontenot was asked why. We'll let you hear that. And also, Kirk Cousins gives us an update on the ankle. Stay right there. You'll hear it all coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Hey, man, good news for some Bravos fans. Don't want to jinx it just yet because there's still another inning of baseball to be played, Carl.
I was about to say, I haven't been able to say the score. You're about to say it?
I've said too much. I won't jinx it.
All right.
We'll save it for later.
All right,
Grant McCauley's coming up next hour, and hopefully some
keep
good
our
news.
Fingers crossed.
Murphy's Law. By the way, we were going to do some Stinger and Rappin'. We'll get some of that later on to give you an update as USA, Carl, bullying the South Sudan. LeBron James going literally through the South Sudanese like Lydell Mitchell. Or Franco Harris.
Remember, this was a team that played us earlier, right?
Before, in London.
Yeah, it was the group stage or whatever.
This was an exhibition in London.
Correct, it was the exhibition. And they had us down, I think, 13 or 16 points.
And so if you were looking to send a message, they're playing just physical. You and I were just debating the merits of this style of play. Why don't you just play your game and beat these guys unless they want to send a message? So they're getting dude, it's like rugby out there at times against South Sudan. They've been dropping some elbows. They're swinging.
Because I think part of this is, we were playing around with you guys earlier, right? And now not only are we better than you, but we're tougher than you. So I think the USA team is showing a little bit of that. What's the score? We're up like 12, 15?
Yeah, we're up by 20 right now.
Okay.
It's winding down to the final 3 minutes. But Luol Deng, who of course played with the Hawks back in the day, out of a pocket to fund this South Sudanese team, who's been one of the darlings of the Olympics because they're certainly a bunch of rootable dudes. Hey, man, speaking of the Olympic Games last night, obviously, we saw the U.S. women's gymnastics team take the gold in the team effort. Now, obviously, just kicking butt and taking names, and that was kind of nice. Redemption, they were talking about it.
Simone is now arguably the greatest gymnast ever. And, you know, people forget she looks 12.
Right.
But she's like 27. And, Mike, I don't know what else she could do beyond this. The team was great to see the women's gymnastics team get gold. I said I was at home in the fetal position with the stomach issue. I was watching Olympics. That's what I had on, and I wanted to see what was going on. So, yeah, it was cool to watch.
Well, ironically, there were some Olympians who were also in the fetal position last night. Canadian triathlete Tyler Mislichuk, he just basically yacked at the finish line of the men's triathlon event this morning after swimming in the Seine River, which you guys may or may not know. Talked about earlier in Guy Talk, they were criticized for its cleanliness and safeness for competitors to be swimming in because of runoff, because of abnormally huge rainstorms that we saw on the opening ceremony, on Friday. Subsequent events, you've seen a lot of rain in Paris. So the $1 billion they spent to basically keep it clean probably goes right out the window. That stuff just goes right through the sewer systems and the runoff. They were worried about high levels of E. coli and other bacteria. A number of American swimmers said it was disgusting. I was ingesting liters of this filthy water.
Well,
aren't you then doing it the wrong way if you're swimming and you're swallowing that much water?
That's a
lot.
Not
trying to tell a triathlete how to do his job.
Yeah, you shouldn't be swallowing water like that.
Yeah, man. The gold medal went for an hour, 43 minutes and 33 seconds. A Briton named Alex Yee took home the gold. But a lot of folks saying that the water quality was pretty bad. Officials said it was good enough for the event. The event had originally been scheduled for Tuesday, was postponed because of the stuff in it. A lot of folks are saying that, yeah, man, it's just too nasty. And the current, another thing, hell of a current for these guys. I mean, I thought it was going to be like a placid conditions, but if you saw, man, the water was moving, so these guys had to swim against that stuff.
I had forgotten you had talked about this a few weeks prior to the Olympics starting about the river and the issues, and you said they spent all that money cleaning it up, but I guess it just didn't work, right? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, what could they have done to make this better? I don't know.
Yeah, the mayor, remember, before the Olympics, the mayor took time to swim in the sand of
to show everybody,
and then later went, blah! No, I'm kidding. I made up that last part. Hey, speaking of heading to the water park, it starts in Australia. Now it's going global. A lot of Karens out there ruin it for everybody. Do you think it's inappropriate to see women wearing G-string bikinis around kids at water parks?
If these beautiful women want to wear what they want to wear, why would I complain,
Thank
Mike?
You. If you got it, show it off, right? Show what you got, what your mama gave you. Well, no. Thousands are calling for G-string bikinis to be banned at water parks. Extremely inappropriate. The skimpy, backside revealing outfit, they say maybe it's fine for a swingers resort in the Caribbean, but not for an area where children are trying to recreate in the water.
Oh, yeah. Are they talking about hedonism? What are they talking about?
I mean, they're saying they started down in Australia. Now, apparently, there's Karens up, I guess, as Karens down under. Karen, crikey. And now there's other folks calling for the same here, saying that there's certain outfits you shouldn't be wearing around kids when you're at the water park. I mean, come on.
I got to be honest. All the years I've gone to water parks, I've never really paid attention to what the moms were wearing or what the women – you're just there. And if I don't know.
It's just Karen stuff. One of the, again, all the reactions on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm female, and I find it uncomfortable to see it, to be honest. One labeled, the swimmer's outfit's offensive, disgusting. It's extremely inappropriate on little children. Chirp one. Isn't it supposed to be nice to leave something for the imagination, said another? Well, again, yeah, but I'm not trying to say all these women are like 60 pounds of flour in a 50-pound bag.
Sure.
But there's always the jealousy element when you've got good-looking women wearing skimpy outfits.
I agree with that. She wore an itsy bitsy
bikini. So, again, you can Google Australia and water parks and thongs, and you can get the whole story there.
But I hope this doesn't catch on. I'll tell you that.
Hey, man, another sign that maybe the world is spinning off its axis. Would you be willing to pay pay-per-view to watch Elon Musk step into the ring to battle Nicolas Maduro, the dictator communist leader of Venezuela?
What are we talking about? What kind of fight?
Well, apparently boxing. Elon Musk, apparently Maduro's saying, you want this heat? As we say, bring it. And Elon Musk has accepted. Now, when would ever set this up, I have no earthly idea. But Elon Musk has been talking about voter fraud in a way they're trying to control the election down in Venezuela.
Sure.
Maduro says he wants a piece of Elon Musk. Elon Musk says he'll oblige.
I don't know if I'd pay for it, but I wouldn't mind seeing somebody punch in the face.
Either way on that one.
Yeah.
Hey, man, great news for Georgians with a hangover. Waffle House has now updated their website. You can now go online and get your Waffle House order to pick up, ready to go. Order online, go to the nearest Waffle House, and take it home with you.
I love that.
I'm excited.
I love that.
I'm going to be hitting that Waffle House in Tyrone.
I love that.
I'm loving it. No, because there's certain days. The only thing with Waffle House, you just don't want to have to go through the rigmarole of sitting down, dealing with the whole thing.
Correct.
You just want to have, just go grab it, take it on home, man. Whether it's waffles, that Texas cheesesteak, I like it. By the way, speaking of good food, thanks to our buddy Steve last night. We party with our good friends Alex and Steve. Went to a place called Mambo's. I know you've been to the one over by the Scar Place before.
Yeah, up in, it's Alpharetta, actually,
right.
But it's up headed towards Cumming. It's great. I didn't know they had another location. And the guys were telling me, and they had been, but tell me what the food was like, bro.
Man, it was great. I mean, a nice saltwater ceviche, getting fresh seafood. Also, so your favorite Cuban, I mean, fried stuff and pork and meat and everything was just coming. We basically, I said, bring the kitchen. We ordered all the appetizers, tostones, all that stuff, man. Just great selection.
It's good.
And just good vibe. Only thing last night, it was a little disconcerting as you went through it last night. You probably slept through most of it, was watching all that funky weather.
I did.
We watched like these black clouds. It looked like 70% chance of wrath of God last night up here in Buford and certainly around lots of Metro Atlanta.
Well, we know Flowery Branch lost power. I'm talking about where the Falcons practice. They were without power, early this morning. There were a lot of people without power, trees down. I know in our neighborhood, Mike, I did. I literally did not even know. And Michelle woke me up and was like, it's storming pretty bad outside. And I was like, really? Mm. I had no idea. And then this morning I get up, I go outside. There's debris, tree leaves. There's just everything. And she said the wind came up, to your point, like the wrath of God up the street. Was just blowing like crazy. I was asleep.
Yeah, man. Again, last night, it was funky. My dog, we got a good dog, man. It's his birthday that I turned four. He sleeps straight.
Happy birthday.
Don't get freaked out by the thunder. He's just kind of a cool, mellow fella.
You're lucky.
Hey, one guy who does get freaked out about everything about him is Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk more about this later, but just real quick, I saw the story I was showing you guys during the commercial break. Robert Saleh is at a Jets camp, says that, we're probably going to lean towards keeping Aaron Rodgers out of any preseason action. Aaron Rodgers says the quarterback plan is news to him.
They haven't told him.
So, needless to say, in New York, that's become a big headline. Chris, who's a lifelong Jets fan, just kind of rolled his eyes because here you go. Aaron Rodgers just can't help stepping in it.
Are they communicating at all up
there? It doesn't sound like. Now, if D-Led was up in New York, sure sounds like left hand don't know what right hand's doing. Salah's got a plan. Aaron Rodgers don't want no part of it. Anyway, man, Guy Talk brought to you by Dukes of Bell. Hey, man, Ale. Grab it on draft here at Hooters Mall of Georgia.
All right, coming up, guys, we're going to hear from Jimmy Lake, defensive coordinator. Also, Terry Fontenot was saying today, Mike, and he tells us why Steve Wilks was at practice.
Why was Steve Wilks at practice?
You're saying, who's Steve Wilks? Former interim head coach at Carolina. He was the defensive coordinator.
I like his style.
Yeah, man. He was here, and Terry Fontenot was asked why. We'll let you hear that. And also, Kirk Cousins gives us an update on the ankle. Stay right there. You'll hear it all coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.